What you missed on The Breakfast Huddle with Elliot Danker, Yasmin Yonkers, and Ryan Huang. Only on Money FM 89.3.
Singapore's Green Building Week ends today. Yesterday, the Singapore Green Building Council's Green Professionals Accreditation Scheme was announced, and it's meant for professionals involved in creating environmentally friendly buildings.
So this will affect about 820 professionals, engineers, architects. And you know, I have to say, Elliot, for the past few days, we've had these folks come through the studio because they've been talking about Green Building Week. The facility manager who take care of, you know, your buildings. They're currently on the Certified Green Mark Managers and Professionals Register that's maintained by the BCA, and they're set to actually get a little more recognition. And I'm very happy for this cohort of people because they do deserve the recognition. And this is a set of a group of people that's supposed to grow for the next generation.
So definitely seeing a lot more being done to turn Singapore into a green nation. And, you know, you think about it, this year is the year of climate action. So it ties together very nicely.
I love it.
The past 3 days, so like you mentioned, we've covered green building and construction, green energy. Today, we are concluding the Singapore Green Week with a chat on our journey towards being a smart nation.
Love that.
What are the challenges? What are the opportunities of a smart nation? How do we achieve that while staying green?
Now, our Communications and Information Minister S. Iswaran has popped in. In August this year, he said that Singapore is well positioned to benefit from the global digital transformation. And indeed, if appropriate steps are taken to build capacity among both businesses and individuals, we can even push this agenda further. But heading towards a smart nation requires more than just digital transformation and innovation, because in today's day and age, security could be a big problem too.
Our guest this morning is Tyler Holland, the COO of Entrac, joining us in the studio. Good morning, Tyler.
Good morning.
So we think smart nation, the most common phrase that comes to mind is, oh, you got to have a smart home. But you guys handle not smart homes, but you guys handle like smart properties. Could you elaborate more about that?
So we really focus on making sure that commercial buildings, schools, hospitals, shopping malls are all running as efficiently as possible. And the best way to do that is to use smart technology to make sure that the lights are on when they're needed and they're off when they're not needed. Okay. Simple things like that.
Say if it's something a little bit more personal, my personal interest, say I am a member of a country club and the country club wants to revamp and become like a smart country club. What's the cost that goes into it and how does it affect me?
Well, when it comes to being smart, there's really a bunch of different aspects, and every property will look at this on a case-by-case basis. So there has to be sort of a payoff for them. If they're spending $100 to run a certain operation in the country club, and then the smart technology allows them to spend only $80, well, then that makes sense for them. And so they take it sort of step by step. And what we see is rather than a wholesale going from not smart to smart, it's about a step by step incremental improving bit by bit. If they go and they convert to a full smart property, it's usually more of a branding exercise than anything. Right. Instead, it's about making each process, each aspect of the building just a little bit smarter, a little more efficient, bit by bit.
Okay. Is it also more cost efficient to go bit by bit than to go full on?
Typically, we find that that's the case because there's a little more scrutiny of each individual technology, each individual process to make sure that you're really going to get that sort of payback, that you're going to be investing a little bit less than your return. Whereas when you go for the whole, you know, big bang switch to a smart property, very often you're just looking at sort of, you know, buying a lot of more flashy type of technologies, which has its own advantages in certain cases, but is a little bit less about efficiency, especially cost efficiency.
So that one's more show and tell.
A little bit.
Well, it all sounds very attractive, doesn't it, to go smart. But I have to say in these past few days, some cons have been brought up. The fact that building managers or company owners tend to have this don't fix what's not broken attitude, and then they get put off by the initial cost of things. Tyler, can you elaborate on other concerns surrounding smart solutions that seem to put people on hold on this idea?
I think that a lot of companies especially are not particularly well suited. They're not well structured to actually take advantage of a lot of this smart nation, smart city, smart building type of technologies. The reason is that maybe one word you've heard of is IoT, the Internet of Things. I like to say that it's conveniently named because it's the marriage of IT, information technology, and OT, operations technology.
Okay.
But what we tend to see is that in companies, there's actually a split between the IT team and between the facilities management or property management management team. And so the guys who stand to benefit from all of this new smart technology tends to be more on the operational, the facility side, but the gatekeepers in terms of network security and access and all of that are on the IT side. And they don't always get along. And so there's kind of conflicts there that make it difficult to roll out these solutions.
I'm just thinking here at SPH, it's two separate departments. The day could come that you merge into one department.
Interesting.
And the day should come soon.
Interesting.
According to Tyler.
Actually, since you brought up SPH, Tyler, I'd like to put you on the spot. Since you guys specialize in transforming commercial sites and buildings into smart buildings, let's say this radio studio needed to be smarter. What is your initial assessment and what would you implement? What are the questions we should ask if we wanted to turn our working facility smart?
As I said before, there's a lot of different aspects, so I'll just focus on one that's relatively easy, which is about energy use.
Sure.
So some of the major energy users in a building would be air conditioning, lighting, sockets. In a building like this, you're going to have occupancy that will really vary throughout the day.
True.
So some people that come in very, very early.
Some work overnight.
Most of the building is empty. And then, like you said, late at night. So what happens in a building typically is that when the first person arrives, you turn on not necessarily all, but a big portion of the lights of the air con.
Right.
And rather than really targeting the areas that specifically need that. Same thing goes for people who are leaving late.
Mm-hmm.
And so making sure that you have more efficient controls of how lighting and air conditioning are being used in the building. You have that information about where people are, whether it's better scheduling, whether it's flexibility of controls rather than turning on aircon for a whole floor. You can do it for specific zones. Little things like that are all essential. And usually in a smart approach, what you would do is you would use sensors to track where people are moving throughout the building. You would use very detailed controls that can control each light fixture individually so that you can turn on just lights over, let's say, that person's workstation when they arrive at 6 a.m. and then the rest of the lights can wait until 8 a.m. when everyone else arrives. So it's little things like this that can be done to really enhance energy efficiency. Make sure you're not walking by a building at 11 p.m. You see all the lights on for one person.
Yeah. And you can see there how important data is, the data of how many people are in the building at any one time.
Yeah. So this data all feeds into what you were mentioning earlier, Tyler. But I'm just going to say who he is again. Our guest is Tyler Holland, the CEO of N-Track. It's an energy equipment and solutions company, and we're in this week talking about smart city, smart buildings, and Singapore's Green Building Week. Yep. So, Tyler, I want to go back to IoT, and you mentioned that besides the novel idea that you just gave us about the fact that the IT in the facilities department could one day merge into one, can you talk about businesses and what they should really know about IoT security before they decide to actually embark on this brave new world?
Well, I think there's a couple of aspects. First, any device that actually goes into your network, there needs to be an understanding of whether that's going to be a weak link in the network, an entry point. And so that's one thing that IT teams are actually really good at spotting and helpful for.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other thing is, well, how important is this data? Is it confidential? Is this something that's saying where all of my employees are moving inside the building? Or is this something that just says, what the CO2 levels are like in any given room? How serious would a breach be if this data were to go out? And so just having a little bit more awareness of where each device and where each piece of data sort of is positioned within its priority list within the organization.
Tyler, this week has shown us how up and coming this industry is, this whole smart development industry is, and the amount of job potential there is. I'd like to ask your opinion. How involved are women in this industry compared to a few years ago?
It's night and day. Previously in this industry, it was all about machines and equipment.
Right.
If you wanted to go and do, let's say, energy saving in a building, it was about changing out one piece of equipment with another piece of equipment that did the same thing with less energy. That's not to say that women weren't involved or couldn't be involved, but I think the whole industry had a culture that was a little bit less attractive to women, and maybe they felt like their skills would be better used elsewhere. Now, the funny thing is with IoT, you're putting more devices in the building, and yet it's becoming more about people and processes and interacting with the actual occupants of the building. And we find that actually a lot of these old engineers, the sort of old boys club tinkering with the equipment in the basement, they're not necessarily well suited to thinking about this in new ways. And so women are actually coming to the forefront in this aspect. So I'm in town for BEX Asia, Build Eco Expo Asia, and we see more women than ever, both manning the booths, coming by as visitors, and it's really been a big change in the industry. And I think that it's a lot more attractive for for women in employment as well.
This is kind of like a women in tech discussion, isn't it? Yeah. Tyler Holland is with us. A final question for you, Tyler. This is really an industry I foresee that's going to grow, and I know you have big belief in it. That's why you're in it, right? Can you talk a little bit to the people who are listening to us now who are ready for a mid-career switch, or maybe those who are thinking about putting their kids into a new realm? How does this building sector of yours become or look like as an employer in the future?
Oh, I think there's fantastic potential, not only for the Singapore market in terms of addressing buildings here, but in terms of building solutions and building tools that can be deployed across Southeast Asia, Asia Pacific, or even worldwide. There's just trends worldwide of pushing towards smart nations, smart cities, smart buildings, smart homes, etc. Singapore is certainly not the only country. I think that they're doing particularly well, but everyone is pushing for this. Sustainability is a must, and so the demand is coming, and the people who have the skills for that are definitely going to have good employment opportunities in the years to come.
Tyler, thanks very much for coming by the studio and joining us for this conversation. We've been speaking to Tyler Holland, COO at Entrack.